We begin the current top, Masechtas Bava Metzia, Daf Kav Beis. We begin on the top line of the Yomid, where the Gemara continues the related discussion in the previous Daf, that is our Mishnayos are now discussing in the second half of this parak regarding Hamaskir Bais L'Chaveh, what's the halachas when someone leases a house to his friend. And as our previous Mishnah discussed regarding whose responsibility is it the landlord or the tenant, who has to take care of those things. So our Gemara continues from what we were discussing regarding the mezuzah, that that's the obligation of the tenant, not the landlord. So the Gemara continues. If someone leases a house to his friend, as we had mentioned, this b'raisa says so too, that it's incumbent upon the renter, on the tenant, to make for him a mezuzah. Now when the tenant leaves, he should not take the mezuzah off the doorpost and leave with his mezuzah. He has to leave it there on the doorpost. Now, it says the b'raisu minachri, but if he's renting an apartment from a non-Jew, then he should take the mezuzah and leave with it. Now, continues the b'raisu, ma'ase be'echad should not l'biyada be'yatzeh. Actually, was an incident with an individual who, when he left his apartment, took the mezuzah off his door and he left. V'kaver ishtay u'shnei banav, and he buried his wife and his two children. Which the Gemara asks, ma'ase lister, what the b'raisu brings the story to contradict? You just said that when you're leaving a non-Jew, you're allowed to. So why does the man right away then say that, oh, someone happened and he took it and he had to bury his wife and his two children. So the Gemara, Rav Sheshes Aresha. That story, that incident is going back on the first halacha, where this person was renting from a Jewish person, which the Aresha, the Braisa, says that you're not allowed to take off the mezuzah as you're leaving, and this guy did, and because he took off the mezuzah, his wife and his children died, and he had to bury them. Now the Gemara continues explaining the halacha of the Mishnah that said Hazevel regarding the fertilizer that's in the courtyard of the house where this person was renting, shalbal habayis, that belongs to the homeowner, to the landlord. Ve'en laseichah, the only thing that the renter, the tenant, gets is ela hayotzei min hatanur min hakarayim b'lavad. If he needs fertilizer, he could take the ashes of the ovens, that belongs to him. But the fertilizer from animals that are in the field, that belongs to the landowner. Now that the Gemara asks, b'may yaskinen, well, how do we conceptualize this halacha? What's it talking about? If it's talking about that the courtyard that we're talking about, that the fertilizer is in, that was actually rented out to the tenant, and the Torah de Seicher, or that it's the ox of the renter, then why would the fertilizer be the homeowner's? Either because it's the tenant's courtyard, or because it's his own animal, it should belong to him. Why should it go to the landlord? So what are you going to say? Must be talking about that the courtyard is not leased to the tenant. He only rented a house, but the courtyard was not leased to him. And the Torah demaskir, and that the ox belonged, the animal that relieved itself over there was owned by the landlord too. As Rashi explains, that since he didn't rent him the courtyard, you could assume that the ox that created the fertilizer there was also from the landlord. On that thing, that's pshita. Well, that'd be obvious that it belonged to the balabais because it's his court and his animal. So what's this case that we're telling us that it goes to the balabais? Either way you look at it, either it actually should go to the seicher, not the masker. And if it's the case we just described, so it's obvious it goes to the masker. Says Gemara Loi Tzricha, the case is talking about that mechatz in the masker. Right, it's talking about that the landowner's courtyard, that he did not lease out the courtyard to the tenant. But it's not the animal of the landlord. It's actually other random animals that came onto the field, onto the courtyard, and relieved itself there. Now, the chiddush of that case is that generally, the animal dung of animals, the owners are mafgrit. They don't claim possession of their animal's excrement. Now, therefore, the courtyard of the owner, of the balabais, of the landlord, acquires it for him, even if the first one to go jump and grab that animal dung for fertilizer was the tenant, and he picked it up. He does not get the rights in it. That's the chiddush in the Braisa, as in the halacha of our Mishnah. As the Gemara says, "Misayel l'Rivis b'Chanina." This supports the halacha of Rivis b'Chanina. The Amr of Yisib b'Chanina, he said, "Chacherit shal adam kainulay shalemidaita," that the courtyard of a person acquires him even without his awareness. So, though it's not the animal of the landowner, it's not the landlord's animal, it was some other animal came in. The first one to pick it up was the tenant. He doesn't get the rights of it because the chatzar of the balabayas was kind of leishon lemidaita. On this halacha of Abayis b'Chanina, which we're using to explain the halacha of our Mishnah, the Gemara asks the following questions. Meisvei. We learn the Braisa as follows. Im Amar, if a person says, kol mitziyeh sheyavoy l'toych hayom, any finds that will end up in my field today, Tikni li chatzeri, my courtyard should acquire for me, says the Braisa, lo yamaklom, he hasn't said anything. That doesn't make an acquisition by saying, oh, whatever will be in my courtyard today, I want it to acquire for me. That the Gemara asks, v'im isl hodam Rabbi Yisrael Hanina, but if you hold Rabbi Yisrael Hanina's halacha, what do you mean? Chatzer shalodim kain le shaloi medaite. A person's courtyard acquires even without his awareness. Samay le maklom. Why is it that this guy hasn't said anything? To the contrary, even if he doesn't say anything at all, it should acquire for him because it's kainish le medaite. So why if he says, oh, I want what my field should acquire, my courtyard should acquire for me today, why isn't it kaina? It should be kaina. Says the Gemara, chamay skin on the case of this, Bryce is talking about b'chatzer she'enim mishtameres. It's a courtyard that's not protected. So what's it saying in the Chiddush is, because if you're standing on the side of a courtyard that's not protected, that will be kind of you. So you would think if a person says in the morning, oh, I want it to acquire for me, it'll acquire, and that the Chiddush of Bryce says that's not going to. Because although Rabbi Yisrael Chanina says it acquires automatically, that's by your protected courtyard. That is going to be kind of. But here's Tzomach Chatzah she'enim mishtameres. On that the Gemara asks, ihachim masef, but then look at the end of that Bryce. Bryce says, if let's say word got out in the city that a broken deer, an animal that's injured, came into that guy's field. Or let's say from the river it's over flooded and it brought all these fish onto his field. Says the Braisa, then Dvarv Kayam, and then his words that he said in the morning that I want the Mitzias, that my Chatzah should be kind for me. And additionally, as the Braisa says over here, that the word got out that this guy has Mitzias in his field, then his words have validity and it will be acquiring for him. Now that the Gemara asks, but v'ibah chatzah she'en mishtameres, if it's like you just explained, that's talking about a courtyard that's not protected. So, ki yatzah lo yishem mitziyah b'ir, my heaven, what does this help this safe of the Braisa that's saying that, oh, if everyone heard that this guy has mitziyahs in his field, then he says he wants it to acquire, then it's going to work. But why? It's a chatzah she'en mishtameres. It's not going to be kind of for a person as the halacha of a chatzah if he's not right there creating some type of a dust. So that the Gemara says, "Kivin the yotz leishem mitzi beir." No, the Sefer the Braisa is explaining because since word got out that this guy has findings in his field, mivdil bedili inchemine, so people will separate already from that. They won't try to grab it away because everyone knows that the word got out that it was his stuff. Because everyone said, "You heard what this guy got? Wow, the river overflooded his field and he got all these fish." Someone's going to try grabbing it away. No one's going to want to do that because everyone knows that it's his. So it's the equivalent of a safeguarded property. The concept of chatzah mishtameres is that it protects it, it keeps it, maintains it there, so therefore it could be kinder for the person. Here it does the same equivalent because since everyone knows and the word got out that he got that and he says, yes, I want to acquire for me, then no one's going to grab it away and therefore it's going to be kinder. But in the Reisha, it's not going to be kinder because although Rabbi Yisrael Chanina says it's kinder l'shlamidaitoi, but that's only by mishtameres and not by ein mishtameres. The Gemara continues asking on this halacha of Rabbi Yisrael Reb Chanina. Meisve, from another Braisa. The Braisa says, Zevel hayetzi min hatano min akirayim. Regarding fertilizer that's from the ovens, which you could use ashes to fertilize fertilize the ground. Or vakilit min ha'aver. Or, if someone put a bucket, a vessel, to receive the animal excrement, in the vessel, which is in the airspace of the courtyard, which so that the glolim should go in that bucket, says the Braisa, Harei Ushaloi. So that belongs, that glolim, as we said, the fertilizer from the ovens, as we said in our Mishnah, that belongs to the tenant, to the renter. Moreover, says the Braisa, that even that which he put into the bucket that he put in the airspace of the courtyard, although as we'll see that doesn't go to him, But the bucket will go to him. Harei Shaloi, that goes to the Seicher. Now, however, v'shebe'refes, v'shebe'chatzer, but regarding the fertilizer that's in the barn and in the courtyard, which the Gemara's assumption originally is that there's two different items, there's the barn and there's the courtyard, which that says the Braisa, that's shalbal abayis, and the reason for that is because it's talking about, as the Gemara assumes, that it's a courtyard which wasn't rented out by the landlord to the tenant, and therefore goes to the landlord. And that asks the Gemara as follows. If you would hold this halacha of Rabbi Yisrael Chanina, that a person's courtyard acquires from without his awareness, then koilit me'aver, regarding the case of when the guy has, the tenant, puts a bucket in the ear space, meaning in the ground of the courtyard, to acquire from when the animals relieve themselves to go into the bucket, Amai Hareyu Shaloi. Why did the Braisa say that it belongs to, it goes to the tenant? But Avichartseiruhu, that's the airspace of the courtyard where we said that the courtyard goes to the Balabais. So how does it help that he's putting the bucket there? Even if the Balabais is not aware his chatzar is acquiring for him, that includes the airspace of the chatzar. So how could this guy put a bucket in the choir if the second it goes into the airspace, it belongs to the owner, to the landlord? So Amabai, he explains, b'madbik kli b'shuli par, it's talking about where the tenant puts the bucket right next to the orifice where the animal relieves itself, where there's no airspace. It goes straight from the animal into the bucket. So therefore you don't have the avachatzer kechatzer, and therefore that's why it goes to him and not to the landowner. That's one approach. Rav Amar, he gives a different answer. He says, avashein seifa lenuach, regarding the airspace, you're right. Although usually avachatzer kechatzer, the airspace of the courtyard is like the courtyard, and just like the chatzer kainel shleim edaitai, the av would also be kainel shleim edaitai. But if it's airspace that's not ultimately going to land in the courtyard itself, lav kemunach, I mean, that's not the equivalent as if it's laying down on the floor of the courtyard. And therefore, it's not going to be considered avr chatzar kechatzar. Avr chatzar kechatzar is only when ultimately it's going to be on the ground of the chatzar. So we say even before it already was considered that equivalent. Here it's not ultimately going to go on the ground because you have the bucket in the way. So therefore, we don't consider it as avr chatzar kechatzar. And that's why the tenant could get it before it goes into the chatzar, where then it would go to the balabais. Now, in this answer of Rav, the Gemara asks, was this really so obvious to Rava, this halacha that he's quoting to explain the halacha that of this braisa, that it, you don't say aver kechatzer kechatzer when it's ein seifa lenuach? But actually this was quoted in the name of Rava as a question, which he wasn't clear about. Because the bayi Rava asked the following question. Zarek arnaki, if someone throws a purse, and as he's throwing it, he says, hefker, he's, whoever wants it, it's omulis, whoever gets it can get it. Now, and as he's throwing it, he throws it bepesach zeh, v'yatzis bepesach zeh. So he's throwing it, as he's throwing it, the trajectory goes into someone's house, meaning in one door, and actually goes out the other door. Ma, what's the halacha? What was his question? The question was, aver she'en seifa lenuach, regarding airspace that's not ultimately going to land, meaning he knows when he's throwing it through the guy's door, it's going to go through the other door. So it's not going to end up landing in that guy's floor. Is it kemunach dami? Do we say, however, but since it's the airspace of that area, therefore we view it as if it's on that ground, and therefore that guy who owns that house has acquired it already? Or is it not like it's already placed down, and therefore, once it goes through the other door, whoever grabs it, or even in the airspace, could grab it and it's his, because it's not aver chatzar kechatzar in that situation. So that was Rava's question. So if that's Rav's question, how could he say it here as a definitive explanation of the Braisa that it's lav kemunach dami? So that the Gemara says, they're actually different. His question and his definite pshat over here are different. Hasam loy mifsig v'loy midi. There in that case, when he threw it to someone's courtyard or someone's house, there was nothing in the way of it landing on the ground. It just ultimately is not going to end up falling because of the trajectory. There, maybe he says, it's going to be considered kemunach dami. Hacha mifsig kli, but here, it not only is it not going to, it's not possible to go onto the ground because here there is the bucket of the tenant is in the way. Not only is it not going to, it cannot go on the ground, and therefore it was obvious to Rava that in this case, although it is in the Aver, not like Abai's answer, they put the bucket right by the animal's orifice, even though it's possible, meaning there's airspace, but since it's not possible because of the bucket in the way, it was Lav Kemunach Dami, and therefore it's Shalai, it goes to the tenant. Now the Gemara, once it introduced that Braisa, clarifies that the Braisa said, however, regarding the fertilizer that's in the barn and in the courtyard, that goes to the landowner. So now the Gemara asks, Tarti, was it necessary to say these two halachas? Why didn't it just say one of these two cases? Since we're talking about that the barn or the courtyard was not leased out to the tenant, because if it was, then the fertilizer would go to the tenant, so why do I have to say the case of a barn and a courtyard? So Amabai, he actually says, no, hochikom, and this is what the Braisa is saying. V'sheberefis shebechatzer, it's one case, that the barn of the courtyard, which that courtyard actually is leased out to the tenant, all the fertilizer that's in the barn is actually harelu shabalabais, that's going to go not to the tenant, but to the landowner. As Amar Rav Ashi explains, Leisameres, this tells us, hamaski chatzer istam, if someone leases out his courtyard without explaining anything, He has not leased out his barn too. So although the courtyard, not only the house, but a courtyard is also rented to the tenant, but that does not include the barn. And that's why the fertilizer in the barn, although the chatzar is of the tenant, the barn, however, does not go to him, and therefore it's going to go to the Baal HaBayis. Mark continues asking on this opinion of Rabbi Yosi. Meisvei. The Braisa says as follows. Yoinei Shuvach v'yoinei Aliyah. These are different types of doves, those of the dovecots or those of the loft, of those that are in higher areas, where they seek their food out in the fields, but they come and they nest at nighttime in the dovecot, which Rashi says these are not Yoinei Hardisais, which they are actually, they grow up in the house. These animals go out to find their food. So therefore, says the Braisa as follows. Chayavis b'shiluach. And there, in that situation, if the mother is resting on the eggs, you have to first send what's called the mitzvah shiluach haken, you have to send away the mother from the nest. The reason for that is because it qualifies for the pasuk that says ki yukari. Mitzvah shiluach haken, of sending away the mother from the babies, or from the eggs, are only ki yukari. If it just happens to be, which, as the Gemara will shortly quote, the drasha prat l'mezumen, that excludes if they were prepared, where if you made them and they always stayed there, here they're not mezumen, because here the animals are not always there. They go out, these doves, and they find their own food. They only come back at certain times, so therefore they're not considered prepared, and therefore the mitzvah shiluach haken would apply. So if you want to take the eggs or the little chicks, then you got to send away the mother. So too, another halacha is vasuris begezel mnei darkei shalom, that they're forbidden because of theft, although halachically it's not necessarily owned by the owner. As it's not his, these are animals that just come, these birds, and they make their nest, and they come and they go. But because of the ways of peace, because it ultimately is on that person's property, so because of Darkei Shalom, it's considered rabbinic theft. That's what the Braisa says. On that, as the Gemara, V'im Isa lahoda am Rabbi Yisrael Reb Chanina, and if you hold the Rabbi Yisrael Reb Chanina's halacha, that chatzer shaladim kain loishla midaita, the person's courtyard acquires for him things, even without his awareness, is considered his, as if he prepared it. So the question is, Kari Khan, then you should learn over here that the pasuk that talks about Shaluach HaKen is only, like we said, Ki Yukari, when it just happens to be. Parat L'mezumen, that excludes if it's prepared. Now the question of the Gemara is that since these eggs are his, now why are they his? He has no clue about that. These animals, these birds, they come, they go, because it's in his courtyard. And the person's courtyard acquires it as if he had intention. Now, so since it's his eggs, so it makes that the cane, the nest, is prepared, because that's the primary part of the nest, is the eggs. And if it's prepared, then it's not ki yikari, it's mizumin. So why is there a mitzvah of shaluach hakein if you hold a kibbutz b'chanina, that as if you prepared it because it's your eggs, because it's kaina for you shlemi daitai. So Amar Ravi explains that we're talking about a specific type of a case, that it's mechuyib in shaluach hakein. Beya b'yitzias ruba. An egg, when the majority of the egg comes out of the mother bird, it's already called oy beitzin. It's already the equivalent of an egg, and therefore it would be the halacha of that if you want to take the eggs, to send away the mother. So if you're coming to take the egg that actually only the majority of it came out of the mother, before it finished coming out, at that point in time, you're already obligated in sending away the mother, when you want to be velikach abanim, to take the children, meaning to take the egg, because it's already considered habetzim, even though only majority of it came out. But a mikna leikanya denaf lechatzere. Although we said that, what do you mean? Automatically, if there's eggs over there, you acquired it, so it's already mezumen, it's not true. Because it's not acquired by that person's courtyard until it actually falls into his courtyard, which didn't happen yet, because the whole egg didn't even come out. Majority came out. So it's already mitzvah shiluach. But it's not acquired by him yet to be mezumen, because it didn't fully come out and fall into his courtyard. Because v'chi katan echayavis b'shiluch, when did the Braisa tell us that there's an obligation of sending away the mother? That's mikmei, the tipul chatzer, that's before, fell into his courtyard, because it's actually still a little bit in the mother. And then when you're coming to take it at that point in time, so then it wasn't acquired yet, then it's ki yikare, then you have to send away the mother. Now that's the Gemara's ihachi, if that's the case, then how do you understand the other half of the halacha? Abmaya suris mishum gezel. Why is then the Braisa say that they're forbidden to be taken because of theft, but since it never fell into his courtyard yet, so it has nothing to do with him. It's not his courtyard. There's no gezlim in the dark kishon because he doesn't own it at all. So why is there a problem about theft? So the Gemara says, a'iman. In other words, that this theft of dark kishon that the Braisa was told about was even on the mother, where the intention of the owner of the dovecot is on the mother. because he's confident that the mother's going to come back to its place in the evening time, because although he doesn't own these doves, and these doves come and make their nests wherever it is, and those are the doves actually that the mitzvah shluchiken applies to, where the exception is when you actually made the nest yourself, but still, you're right, not for the eggs, because the eggs didn't even fall in this courtyard. It's the mother who she lives there, and she comes back in the evenings, although he doesn't own it, but there is a gezel nedarka shalom. That's one approach. Viboy say more, another approach to answer this last question is lo'ilma beitzim. Actually, the gezel nedarka shalom is going on the eggs, and not on the mother. But umedinafik ruba daite ilovei. Once the majority of the egg comes out of it and he sees that, you're right, it didn't fall into his courtyard yet. He doesn't own it. And therefore, it's not mezuman, and it is the kiyukari, and there is the chiv of shluch hakein. But since his intention is he realizes it's in his courtyard and he sees it's almost coming out, it's going to be his. So if someone would grab it away now, that would be a problem about gezel nedarka shalom. Because since his intention is for it, you're right, it's not biblical gezel, but that's already because of ways of peace that this guy has in his property, and you grab it away, that's the gezel nedarka shalom. Now, the Gemara says that these two approaches to answer the Gemara's question was only based on what we had originally assumed. But the Hashad Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, that he says the following halacha in explanation of this mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein. He says, Asur lezakis bebeitzim, you're not allowed to merit the rights in the eggs, kolzman she'im revetzis aleim, as long as the mother is on the eggs, no matter where the situation is, you're not allowed to take the eggs if the mother's on the eggs. Shenem, because it says in the pasuk, shalech ta shalech asaim, send away the mother. And then it says, esabanim tikach loch, that then you can take the children, the eggs, for yourself. So therefore, says the Gemara as follows. But we could say, not like how the Gemara had just previously answered, that only majority of the egg was coming out. Actually, the egg fell into the courtyard. And still, you're going to be obligated in the midst of shluch haken. And it's not going to be considered mezuman as if it's prepared. Why? Because it's talking about that, yes, the egg fell into the courtyard, but the mother is still on top of the egg. And therefore, it's not going to be difficult in Rishon Chanina because kol heicha de'ihu matzi zochelei, where the owner has the rights to be zeicha in the eggs, to merit it, then chatzer is achila. Then you're right. Automatically, Rishon Chanina says the person's courtyard would merit it for him. And then, yes, it would be mezuman, and then it would be no mitzvah shluch haken. But for kol heicha de'ihu matzi zochelei, where the person himself is not allowed to be zeich in the egg yet. Why not? Because it's forbidden, because the mother's still on the egg, whether it be in the nest or whatever it is, but although it fell into the person's courtyard, but the mother's still on it. So since he's not allowed to, so his courtyard also will not acquire it for him. And therefore, it's not going to be considered mezuman, because it's not his. So although you could answer that it doesn't have to be specifically, we said, 3/4 of it out, a regular case of eggs where it came out, still, that's the case where we're talking about by the Ziyani Shuvach or Yoni Aliyah, that's going to be Chayv B'Shiluach, because it's not Mezuman. Because although a Chatzar acquires automatically, that's only when a person himself is allowed to, then his courtyard by extension will also. But here, since he's not allowed to, because the Isser of Esser Eim Shalef to Shalef, so therefore, the Chatzar will not acquire it for him. No, not the Gemara's Ihachab, if that's the case. So, how do we understand the second half of the Brice according to this current Gemara's answer? Asuris Begezlam and Neidarki Shalim. What? So that's it? The only problem is if someone would take these eggs that fell on the floor, which again the mother's still on it, that he would just be violating rabbinic theft? But the question is as follows. Idishalcha, if the one who took the eggs sent away the mother, so actually gezel ma'ayuhu, that's not just rabbinic gezel, that's full-fledged biblical theft. Because at this point in time, once he sent away the mother, then the owner is allowed to go ahead and take the eggs. If he's allowed to, that means that his chatz is going to be kind l'shlemi daitoi. So then it's biblically owned by him, and it's biblical theft whoever takes the eggs the second after he sends away the mother. And if this guy who's stealing the eggs did not send away the mother, well then habayi shlucha. But then he actually has to send away the mother. In other words, forget about just rabbinic theft, this guy's violating a different biblical isser of shalech to shalech, and only then being able to esabam tikechloch. So why are you saying just gezel drabanan when it's going to be even a biblical violation of shaluch haken? So rather says the Gemara that this, that the Brice is saying that the only violation is gezel of darki shalom, is talking about when, yeah, he did not send away the mother. So if he didn't send away the mother, it's not going to be biblical theft because the owner did not acquire it yet. So, but what, then what's with the biblical issa of shalech to shalech? So it's going to be cut, and it's someone by a minor. The minor came and took the eggs. The la bar shiluachu, where he's not someone that obligated in the mitzvah of sending away the mother because he's not obligated in mitzvahs yet because he's still a minor. So the Gemara asks, but then how do we understand the halacha of the Braisa? Cut in Bardarki Shalom, where do you think a minor is obligated in ways of peace to say that, oh, okay, but he's going to be obligated in the rabbinic theft of Darki Shalom? What do you mean? There's not Mechuyev Mitzvah Deraisa, he's not Mechuyev Mitzvah Derabanan of Gezel of Darki Shalom. So the Gemara, you're right. No, Hachakama, this is what the Braisa was saying. The father of the minor would be obligated to return the eggs that his child took from beneath the mother that was still on the eggs in that other person's field, then they darker shalom because of ways of peace. You're right, the minor himself is not obligated, as he's not even obligated in the midst of the rice of Shalech Tashalach. But the father has to return it to that neighbor, to that other person, because of darker shalom, because rabbinically we consider it as a theft that his child committed, and therefore he has to return the stolen goods. Now the Gemara continues the next Mishnah, again continuing the theme of the previous Mishnah, which was this discussing we had on the previous Daf, the two Mishnahs ago, talking about when someone rents a house from his friend, for how long of that period does he have the lease for? So this Mishnah continues as follows. Hamasker bais l'chaver l'shana. If someone leases a house to his friend for a year, so nisabra hashana, if it's what's called an iber yar, if it's an additional month, an adur sheni, so nisabra l'seicher, so that gets intercalculated to the renter. In other words, he doesn't have to pay for another month because that's included in the year. The year is now 13 months, so whatever the amount was for the year includes now this extra month. Let's say he leased it for the month. Every month he has to pay a certain amount of money. So if Nisabra Hashana, so if now the year add another month, so Nisabra Lamaskir. So that is a gain of the extra month for the landlord. Because each month he has to pay a certain amount. So now another month he has to pay extra money. Now the Mishnah brings Maisa B'Sipari. There was actually an incident in Sipari, of a certain place. Be'echad Shesachar Merchetz Mechaver B'Shnaim Aser Zav L'Shana Medina Zav L'Chedesh. Someone had rented a bathhouse from his friend for 12 golden coins for the year, which and also of one golden coin for the month. Now, as the Mishnah continues on the base, Obo Maisel of Neir Reb Shimon Gamliel of Neir Biesi, and the incident came for Psak Halacha from Reb Shimon Gamliel and Reb Biesi, V'amru Yachlikas Chaydashi, and they said that you have to divide the extra month. That this extra month, the 13th month, this new month, where it was supposed to be 12 golden coins for the year, which would make it even extra month only 12 coins. But then there was each month was one golden coin. So now that there's 13 months, there should be 13. So that extra 13th golden coin should be split between the masker and the seicher. And that the Gemara asks, Maisa Lister? What, does the Mishnah bring a story to contradict the halachas that it just brought? The Reish of the Mishnah said, two cases. Either that the extra month goes totally for the benefit of the tenant, or totally for the benefit of the landlord. And then the Mishnah brings a story, which seemingly had no precedent in the halachas of the Mishnah, that it's not going to be either or. It's actually going to be divided between the two. How does that fit into the halachas that the Mishnah was saying? So the Gemara says, Chasur Mechzer V'Chakitani. There's actually words missing in the Mishnah, and this is the way it's supposed to say, and that's what the story is coming to illustrate. A third halacha. Vim Amar Lai, and if he tells him, Bishneim Asa Zuhuvim L'Shana, Medina Zav L'Chaydish, if he tells him that it's going to be 12 golden coins for the year, one golden coin for each month, where those are two different ways of describing it, one per year and one per month. And then it turns out there's actually an Iber Yar, an extra month. That's what the Mishnah says, Yachloiku, that then they're going to divide that 13th month, because we don't know if the primary was what's called the Lashon Rishon, the first version that he said, which was per the year, or if his primary was the last version, which was per month, which was to have to pay the extra golden coin. And that's what the Mishnah was saying. And there is also was an incident that illustrates this halacha in Tzipari, which was someone rented a bathhouse from his friend for 12 golden coins for the year, for one golden coin per month. And this story came in front of Rishim Lila and Rabbis. And they said, like that halacha which was missing from our Mishnah's text, that you split that extra month of the Adar Beis, that goes half for the masker and half for the seicher. That's the halacha of the Mishnah. On that, Omar Rav. Rav says, I havoy hasam, had I been there, meaning by Reb Shimon Gamliel and Reb Yisi, have a yehivne le kula masker. I wouldn't have said like it says in our Mishnah that to divide it. I would have said, you give it totally to the landlord. So, the Gemara asks, my kamashulon, what is Rav telling us that that he would dispute the halacha of the Mishnah? That Tavas Lashon Achron. He's telling us that because the primary is the second version that he said. The first version was per year. The second version was per month. Therefore, since the primary is the second version, which is per month, so therefore when there's an extra month, so the tenant has to pay for an extra month, which is the benefit totally for the landlord. That's what he's saying, not like the Tanoim of our Mishnah that said you divided because they're not sure if it's your Tavis Lashon Rishon or Tavis Lashon Achron. Rav's saying, no, your Tavis Lashon Achron. So therefore he would have said, it goes, all the benefit is for the landlord. And that the Gemara asks, Ha'amar Rav Chadazinah, Rav already told this once before. Why is he saying it again in the context of our Mishnah? The Amar Rav Huna, because Rav Huna said that Amri Bei Rav, they said in the Yeshiva of Rav, if someone tells his friend, how much are you willing to sell this item for? So he says, two terminologies. He says, Astira, which is a certain type of a seller, Me'amoy, for 100 coins. And they agreed upon the price. I mean, he agreed to what he said, that he said, Astira Me'amoy. Says Rav, what's the halacha? He has to pay him meyemoy, has to pay him 100 moy. Now, if he says the other way around, meyemoy astira, so then he becomes obligated in astira, which what we see from this halacha of Rav is that it's the second term that's used, which is the primary. If the second one uses meyemoy, he pays meyemoy. If the second one uses astira, he pays astira. So Rav already told us this halacha in that context. Why does he have to say it again? That context of our Mishnah. Had I been there, every time he has to illustrate this halacha, he already told us this once before. Says the Gemara, no. Ime hasim, had we only had this other halacha of Bei Rav, Havamina, I would have thought to say that actually the reason is not because, as we're trying to say in this context, of Tafas Lashon Achron, that the primary is the second thing that he says. Rather, actually, we would have said that that case of Astira Me'amoy, it actually is all one definition. It's just that Pirushika Mefarish. It's just that he's coming to explain and define what did he mean when he said this term. In other words, when he said that I wanted to be a Sela Gadol, a large Sela, this Astira, which is worth 100 prutes. So when he then says, let's say he says Me'amoy Astira, what he's saying is as follows. Saying, although I'm saying first meyemoi, when he then says the second term of astira, he's being mefarish, he's clarifying, it's not another term, it's not lashon rishon, lashon achron, he's actually qualifying the first statement he said. I know I promised you meyemoi, which are 100 copper coins, but he's qualifying saying, but I'm giving you inferior ones, which are not worth so much. They're only going to be worth a sela astira, which is, as Rashi explains, a sela medina, which is a half a dinner, which is an eighth of a sela tzuri, as the Gemara says in Baba Kama, explains many times there's different types of slum, the sela tzuri, which is the more expensive type, and the sela medina, which is the cheaper type. As the Gemara says, during the context of when someone injures his friend by blowing in his ear, he pays him a sela, which is a half a dinner. And a half a dinner is 96 prutas. Because the pruta is one eighth of an iser, and a half a dinner is 3 silver ma, which are 6 pundyin, and the punyan are 2 isurin, and 12 isurin are a half a dinner. So you give for every isur 8 prutas, it comes out for some total of 96 prutas. That's the primary concept that one has to know, which is the 96 prutas are in the sela. Now, so therefore when he's telling him that I'm giving you meyemoy, but I'm not giving you really 100, because I'm actually going to give you 96. Because the 100 I'm going to give you are inferior quality, which are only going to equal into a sela medina, into this astira. Now, let's say he says the other version, astira meyemoy, he's telling him that I'm going to give you a sela, which is actually 4 prutas more than the cheap version. Because again, stam, as Rashi explains, that generally moys are referencing to copper coins, to what we call prutas, unless he specifies silver moys, moys kesef. And you can't say that it's talking about 100 silver mois, because you don't have such a sell like that, because he's qualifying over here, because even a sell at Tsuri is only 24 mois. So if he's talking about 96 mois, and he's saying that it should be 100 mois, must be talking about, as we explained, for this copper, the copper coins, are these prutas, are the meyemoi. That's what the definition comes to say. So that's what I would have said in this halacha of Rav, that when he says meyemoi astira or astira meyemoi, it's actually just qualifying. So that if you say again meyemoi, it's not going to be 100 regular ones. It's going to be 100 inferior ones, which is going to be equal to astira, which is equal actually to 96 copper coins. And when he says astira meyemoi, he's saying, I'm not going to give you just an astira, which is 96. I'm going to give you, actually, that's worth 100 copper coins. K'mash Malan, that's the chiddush why we needed Rav to say it in this context, to say that no, it's not just that halacha by the coins, don't think that's because of just its perushika mafarish. It's actually two different terms. There's astir and there's meimai. And you're right, whatever he says second is going to be the primary. That's the primary thing that the person wants to say, and that's why that's only understood from the context of our halacha, and that he disagrees with the halacha of our Mishnah, that you don't divide. Since the last term that he used was a golden coin for every month, that it's all going to be the gain of the masker, of the landlord, because the primary is the second definition of per month, not per year. That's Rav's qualification. Ushmul Amr, he gives another explanation in the halacha of our Mishnah regarding this that our Mishnah said, Yachleiku, which we had asked about. Why is it Yachleiku that if our Mishnah didn't talk about that halacha, so we explained the halacha. So on that, we explained that it's based on the principle of we don't know if Tavis Lashon Rishon or Tavis Lashon Achron, which Rav had said, that's the halacha of the Mishnah, but I would disagree because I hold Tavis Lashon Achron. Shmuel says as follows. He says, actually, Bebob Be'emtza Chedesh Askina. The case is actually talking about where the landlord and the tenant come to court in middle of the month. Now, the landlord's telling him, get out of my house or give me the rent for this month. Now, because he's claiming that he gets per month. And that guy's saying, no, I pay per year. Now, since we're in doubt, regarding which terminology is primary, so actually Shmuel holds that we don't decide and say, okay, we don't know, so then we'll split it. You actually go based on the chazakah, on the presumptive state of the monetary status. Now, therefore, what the tenant already had lived there, because we're already halfway through the month, that we're not going to take away money from him because he's muchzik on his own money that we want to try to extract from him to pay to the landlord. And maybe that the primary is Tavis Lashon Rishon, which was based on the year, and therefore we can't extract from him. Now, however, the remaining half a month that there is left in the month, regarding that we could tell him, look, either pay or leave, because there the chazak is that's owned by the landlord, and it's there for his chazaka. You want to live there? So then maybe it's Lashon Achron, and therefore you got to pay. So that's where the halacha of the Mishnah said that Yachleiku, because based on chazakas, since we're halfway through, half is going to go to the seich, and half is going to go to the masker. But says Shmuel, but if let's say this would be in the beginning of the month, then actually, says Shmuel, actually the Mishnah would agree that kulei lamasker, all of the benefit would go to the landlord because we would say hemet karka becheskes balea. The land is presumptively in the ownership of the landlord. You want to say that maybe it goes per year, so you got to prove, and therefore, unless you do, you got to pay for the rent for the coming month. Baba seif chodesh. Let's say they both came to litigate at the end of that month. Then kulei laseicher. Then says Shmuel, actually, all the benefit will go to the tenant because hemen mamen al cheskasai. The money that you want to take away from him to say that he has to pay, it's chazaka is in his property, his domain. You want to take it out, you got to disprove and prove that it goes per the month and not per the year. That's the way Shmuel explains the halacha of the Mishnah. Again, not just because that there's a suffix, because regarding that, it would depend what time of the month. It's because it's the middle of the month that each one's chazaka is defining half of it for the each their own, that's why it's going to be Yachleiku. On this, the Gemara asks, Mi amr Shmuel lo yaminin tavis Lashon Achron? Did Shmuel really say that you don't go based on Lashon Achron? Meaning Rav had said that I disagree with Halacha the Mishnah, because you're going to go all benefit for the landlord, because the second terminology of that was per month is primary. Shmuel didn't disagree with that. Shmuel said that actually we go based on the Chazakah. So it doesn't make a difference that to say that it's all going to go based on the second terminology that was used. He says it depends what time of the month. If the biggest difference is the beginning of the month, the middle of the month, or the end of the month. If it goes over the seicher, the masker, or that's divided. So obviously Shmuel does not say that it would go based primarily on the second wording that it was used. You're right, it's a suffix according to Shmuel. And therefore it's going to make a difference when they come, because based on chazakas. On that, the Gemara asks, is it really true that Shmuel does not hold that Tavis Lashon Achron? But Varav and Shmuel Damer Tevaya, both Rav and Shmuel said the following halacha. If someone said that I'm willing to sell you a kur of produce, which is 30 saw, for 30 coins, so they could back out even when they're by, let's say, the 29th saw, they have one more saw left for the transaction, they could back out. Because although that the consumer already did meshicha on all those saw, That's not Mashiach, because all 30 Sar considered one Mekach, one transaction, and until he does Mashiach and the whole thing, he hasn't acquired it, so they can back out still. But let's say Kur Bishleshim. Let's say he said, I'm selling you a Kur for 30, Sa Besela, which means each Sa, and he says this, each Sa I'm going to sell you for one Sela, Ani Merchalach, that's I'm going to sell you. Then says Rav and Shmuel, Rishon Rishon Kana. Then actually each one by one, the buyer has already acquired it, because since he said in the second terminology, Sa Besela, so every single Sa is one Mekach, and therefore by drawing each one, he has already acquired it. What do you see from there? That although the first Lashni said that it's all one Mekach, but since the second Lashon Achron, he said that each sa is its own Mekach, that he's acquired each one that it comes. And Shmuel said this halacha. So you see, Shmuel holds itself as Lashon Achron. So how do we understand his interpretation of the Mishnah, which made it sound like that you don't go based on Lashon Achron? Says the Gemara, no. Hasam time amai mishum de tafis. What's the reason why in that halacha, by Kur Bishleishim and Sub Beselim, that he says that each sa the buyer has already acquired is because the buyer is already holding on to it. In other words, actually, as Shmuel is explaining in our Gemara over here, he is in doubt. He's not like Rav who says, I hold for sure Tafas Lashon Achron. Shmuel's in doubt, like the halacha of the Mishnah. He doesn't know if it's Tafas Lashon Rishon or Lashon Achron. Now, therefore, in that case where the guy, the consumer, is already buying, he already held on to 15, 25, 29 sa, because he's tough, is that he's holding on to it, so because as a suffix, we can't take it away from him. Because now it's already him and Dav al Chazkasa, because he's already the Mukhsik, because he's holding on to it. Says the Gemara, Hachanamika Tafas. Here also, it's as if that each one's holding on to it too. Meaning, if they come in the beginning of the month, so then we say, since we don't know, it's as if who's holding on to it, who's the Mukhsik, is the Masker. If they come at the end of the month, so then it's as if the Seicher is holding on to it. Since we don't know, and we want to take away money from him, he's the toughest. Whereas if we come in the middle of the month, each one is toughest on half, regarding what was the Seicher, what's going to be is the Masker. So that's the same principle. Doesn't mean that it's because of definite Lashon Achron. There, that halacha was, since he's already toughest on it, and then because of the Suffolk, we can't take it away from him. But really, it's because he holds, it's a Suffolk, if you're toughest Lashon Rishon or Lashon Achron. Another interpretation, the halacha of HaMishnah, Rav Nachman, he says, Karka Becheskes Balea Kayemes. The land, it retains in the presumptive state of the owner, and therefore, even if they come to litigate at the end of the month, it's all going to go to the landlord. The reason for this, as Rashi brings, is because the actual, not like the way we said in Shmuel, the actual doubt didn't just crop up right now. The doubt of this situation really started in the beginning of the month. It's just that they didn't come to court till now. So therefore you say, that doubt, which, okay, what's the halacha of the 13th month? Is it per year? Is it per month? So you say, Hemet Karkel Chazkasai. So it comes out that the presumptive state that it belongs, this land, to the real owner, to the landlord. And it comes out that this guy was dwelling this 13th month in his friend's courtyard, and he has to pay him for it. So therefore, it all goes to the masker. On that, the Gemara asks, my kamash malon. So what is Reb Nachman teaching us more than what we didn't know up until now? What? Toughest Lashon Achron, that you go based primarily on the second terminology, because although that he said, I'm renting you for the year, but the second term he says, I'm renting you for the month, so therefore you go L'chaydish, well, says the Gemara, Hayni de Rav, that's the same as Rav's interpretation, that it all goes to the masker, doesn't make a difference when they come, because it's the secondary term that he said, which was L'chaydish. So the Gemara says, no, Rav Nachman is Afagav de Apach Mepach, even if it actually was said the other way around. If, let's say, originally he had said, I'm going to rent it out to you for a golden coin per month, for 12 golden coins for the year, even there Rav Nachman said that all the benefit is going to go to the landlord. Because the reason is not, as Rav had said, the toughest Lashon Achron. Because according to Rav, if you flipped it around, actually all the benefit would go to the renter. Because the primary term was the secondary, which was based on the year. Rather, Rav Nachman holds, like Shmuel had said, that we're in doubt regarding what is the primary Lashon Rishon or Lashon Achron. Now, however, it's just that he's qualifying that the doubt really started in the beginning of the month. And if the doubt really started in the beginning of the month, so karka becheskes balal, so you go based on the chazaka in the land, that was not like the way we said it with Shmuel, depending when they come, but rather what's called klab b'shmaya galya, that suffix really started in the beginning, and we say that chazaka was by the masker, and therefore the benefit goes to the masker. Now the Gemara continues with a related discussion. Bo'yimin name Rabbi Yannai. They asked the following question from Rabbi Yannai. Seicher Omer Nesati. If the renter says, the tenant says, I gave the rent for the year. And the landlord says, I did not take this money from you. I don't know what you told me. You didn't pay me the rent money. Says the Gemara, Amil Habiraya. The question was, who has to bring proof? Who do we trust? Who do we know who's telling the truth? So the Gemara asks, Amos, when did this dispute happen? If it was within the time, meaning within the year of the rental, because the halacha actually is, which is quoted other places in Shasta, the obligation to pay a rental is actually only at the end of the rental, which is the last day of the year that he's there in his rental. So if their dispute was within the year of the rental, that he's saying, I paid you already, and saying, I didn't get the rent money yet. So the Gemara says, Tanina, that's clearly learned in the Tanoic source. And Ila Achazman, Tanina, and if it's their dispute is regarding after the rental season is over, after the obligation is ready to pay, that's also taught in the Tanoic source. So what's the question? Just not like we learned in the Mishnah, Mesechtes Bechairis. The Mishnah there is talking about regarding a Bechair, regarding a firstborn a child. The Pasuk says, A person has to redeem his firstborn son from the Kayin by paying him 5 slum. Now, therefore, the Mishnah says as follows. If the father of the child died within 30 days of his firstborn's birth, so the presumption is that the child was never redeemed yet from the Kayin, because we could assume that within 30 days the father didn't redeem him, because the obligation doesn't even start until day 30. So, like as Rashi says, halavai, we would be pleased if people would actually pay when the time actually comes. So no one's paying before the time comes, at least we could assume that. And therefore the son would have to redeem himself because his father died before he reached day 30. Now, however, until he brings proof that he was redeemed, meaning unless he brings proof that his father, even before day 30, had paid, until we know otherwise, we could assume that he was not redeemed. Now, however, if let's say his father died after the child was already 30 days old, which then generally the child's already redeemed, because generally the father's going to do a pinya ben, and it's appropriate time on day 30. And then let's say when he was 40 days old, his father passed away, then becheskes shenifta, then the presumption is that he was redeemed. Unless that the neighbors tell this child that we know shalei nifta, that actually we want you to know your father never redeemed you, because at the time that he was dying, although it was day 40 already, he said, please redeem my son. I never got a chance to redeem him. Now, Rashi just points out one thing, because by a kohen, you can't say that the kohen should bring a proof to collect and say, hey, you never redeemed yourself, because the kohen's not the litigant. Because if the child wants to, he could say, fine, but I don't want to give it to you. I could give it to another kohen. Therefore, the term of the Mishnah is, ad sheyoyim ruler, until they tell him, meaning until the neighbors tell him. Because once the neighbors tell him, then there's a mitzvah coming upon this child that he should redeem himself. But one thing that we see, says the Gemara, is that this is a clear, open, and shut halachas. When is this guy, what's the question? We want to know if a tenant and landlord have this dispute, when are they having it? If it's before the time of the obligation of paying, which is within the time of the rental, then we don't believe that he paid. If it's already after, then we said that the presumption is that he did pay. So what's the question about who do we believe? Says the Gemara, Lo Yitzricha, the question that they had asked from Rabbi Yannai was actually talking about that the landlord was trying to collect and claiming that it was not paid to him, but Yoyma de Mishlam Zimne, on exactly the day when the lease was up. And the tenant is saying, I paid you in the morning. Because to be believed he paid before that, we don't believe a person that you paid before the time that the obligation starts. If it's after that, the last day of the lease, then we believe him that he did pay, and we don't believe the landlord. Here it's on the day that it completes. And the question is, mi'aver inish depar b'yemi de mishlam zimni, does a person pay on the day that the lease is up, meaning the day that there's an obligation for him to pay, does he pay already that day, that last day in the morning? Or does he not pay, and therefore it only be believed the day after, but the day of, the landlord would be believed. That was the question. On that, Amlu Rabbi Yechon said to them, Tanisua. That's also was taught in the Mishnah on Daf Kofir Aleph and Aleph that we have. As the Gemara continues on the top of Kof Gimel and Aleph, the Mishnah says, Sachar Bizmanai. Regarding a hired laborer, if he comes on the day that he finished his work and he's coming to claim payment from his employer, says the Mishnah, Nishba, he swears that he didn't receive his paycheck yet, V'naitel, and he could collect from his employer. Now, although generally you don't collect, you don't swear to collect, you swear to defend yourself, you swear to be exempt, but this is one of those halachas that the Gemara brings in Sefer Shvuos and the Memdal Mabeis, that the person swears to collect. Because the Chacham more misakin, that here he could swear to collect from the employer, from the homeowner, and that it's the sacher, it's the renter, it's the laborer who he makes the shvu. And the reason for that is because since the homeowner is very busy with all his workers, he could think he gave to this guy, but really he had given it to someone else. Since he doesn't know, he's not going to be able to make a shvu, we made it incumbent upon the sacher. That's the halacha of the Mishnah. So says Rabbi Yechanan, sacher hu deram rabbanu shvu lav. It's by a laborer, within the rabban imposed that the shvu, the oath, is on the laborer, that he could swear to collect. Mishum de balabai is tar bepaila, because the homeowner, the employer, is very busy with all his workers, and he might, with all the myriads of things to do, he might forget and might not know, so he can't, he's not in that frame of mind to make a shavua. So we put it onto the seicher, on the sacher, he could swear to collect. But says Rabbi Yechanan al hacha, but here, let's say in general, even on the day, which that was the case in that Mishnah, which is the day that his job was up and he's coming to get his paycheck, on the day that it's over, like in this case of the seicher, the guy who is the tenant of the house that he's renting, mehemen b'shvu, he's believed to take an oath to say that I did pay you already. Meaning, just like you would say by the employer, he would be believed to swear to say I paid you already, even though it's on the day when the paycheck, when the time is obligated to say, he said, I paid you already in the morning. To say before his job is up, he's not believed. To say after, he is believed. The question was the day that the job is up. That day, he would be believed. It's only because of the Kana Drabanan that we say that he's not believed, because he's so busy with all the stuff, and therefore we impose it on the employee. But in general, he really would be without the Takana Drabanan. That's the same thing over here, that he is believed to say, the tenant, that he already paid him. But as long as we say with the Shvua, which is a rabbinic Shvua of Shvuas Hesses, which Acham imposed on anybody that does not do the biblical situation of admitting to half of it, here he's totally denying. The landlord is saying, you owe me $1,000 for the rent. And he's saying, I don't owe you anything, I paid you. So that's what is a rabbinic oath of, okay, you're totally denying. So biblically, you're really exempt. The Rabbanan said, you got to make a Shvua. But again, if he makes a Shvua, then he's going to be exempt, because although it's just today that he's finally obligated to pay, you see on that day that you're obligated to pay, like the employer would be believed, if not for the Rabbanan's Takan Rabbanan of saying that, no, you're really too busy, you don't know. Here where this guy is just a tenant, he's not so busy, he knows regarding did he pay his landlord or not, he would be believed. It's him that's believed even on the day that it's finished.